Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. We were just having a little conversation about that one time where you disappeared off my screen as I was pressing play on the intro, and Pat had to scramble to get back on with about a second to spare, was it, Pat?
Yeah, it was really close. It was really close. I was out of the room, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I basically had been trying to, like, separate the pictures, like the files that we go through.
Yeah.
From the window where I was in, and I closed out the window I was in. And then I got back in quick enough to hear you go, "Zit Pat." It's like, okay.
That was the most harrowing experience at the very last minute. Anyway, welcome to the Full Force Weekly. Thank you so much. So many comments already. I can't even, it's incredible. So thanks everyone for jumping on already in this early morning. Morning to everybody that's watching. There is a lot of you. I think Mom's on the show as well already. Yep, Mom is in the house. She's saying hello to everybody. Hello, Mom and Dad. You get your shout-outs at the end. You know how it works. Right then. Well, I say, we didn't have a massive amount of stories to get into this week, Pat, but what we did have was quite significant, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff for us to take a look at this week.
Absolutely. And we will start, of course, with Renegade Game Studios news.
Renegade Game Studios' Renegade Con Virtual kicked off yesterday, so here is a recap of what was revealed by Scott Gator and Sarah Erickson in that opening panel. First up, they showed us the next Mission Critical expansion, Chaos Break, featuring Robert Atkins' box art, showing Ripcord and Beachhead in a bit of trouble from Zartan Zarana and Road Pig. Following that, we had a double whammy from the Sarge, yes, another Mission Critical game simply titled Sergeant Slaughter, and a limited edition accessory pack for the role-playing game, including a Sarge miniature. They explained that the particular set would be a limited run and once gone would be gone, so that might be a good one to jump on right now. Finally, they revealed the already spoiled G.I. Joe Transformers crossover deck building game, New Alliances. Technically, this is an expansion pack for Transformers, but you don't need the Transformers game to play it. All reveals are available to pre-order right now, link in the description. There will be more to come during the G.I. Joe panel at 11 a.m. PST / 2 p.m. Eastern, and then there is a Mission Critical painting stream at 4:20 Pacific, that's 7:20 Eastern. We will be doing another recap following the event, so keep it locked.
Yes, indeed. So following today's event, I'll stay up really late and I will squeeze out another news burst extra to recap day two. In an interesting bunch of reveals there, Pat. We already knew obviously that the New Alliances was coming. That was kind of spoiled for us a few weeks back. Yeah. But we kind of got a little bit more information about that. Also a bonus box that goes along with that as well. But the first thing we got introduced to was this new expansion for Mission Critical. Now, I've got my Mission Critical right here. See if I can reach it. I can. All right. Haven't opened it yet. Still sealed. But this bad boy. I'm actually really looking forward to playing it. But time and other humans that are interested is very difficult to find, isn't it, Pat? And that's going to be a running theme, I think, every time we talk. I think it is a running theme every time we talk about Renegade Game Studios. But what are your thoughts on this particular expansion?
Well, they're showing more about it later, right?
Yes, there'll be,
I think around 2, is it 2 o'clock Eastern? Is that right?
2 o'clock Eastern. They'll be kind of kicking off on their YouTube channel again. Link in the description for that as well, guys. Also, everything that was revealed yesterday, it was really just about reveals and kind of very minimal kind of details about stuff. But everything is available for pre-order as we speak. So everything that you see as we go through, you can find the link in the description below and you can pre-order it if you want it. The Chaos Break expansion, more Robert Atkins art, which is always, you know, great to have. Beachhead and Ripcord. At least I think it's Ripcord. It's not Airborne, based on the the some of the details. So I'm pretty sure that's Ripcord. What would you say?
I would say it's Ripcord based on the you know, the breather mask that's pulled to the side.
That's what I thought. And obviously the camo a little bit was pushing it towards Ripcord.
Yeah, it's not the, it's not the same colors as that. That's Ripcord.
Yeah, it was just it's just one of those things where I said it and then was like second guessing myself later. But very nice art again from Robert Atkins on that one. And obviously in this particular expansion, it looks like we're going to get some Dreadnoks features here with Road Pig, Zarana. I didn't know it was you. Look at your the despair in his face as I said it. And obviously Zartan. Again, great artwork from Robert Atkins. I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the, on today's show.
Yeah, my big takeaway from I did watch their reveals. My big takeaway though is how much they really are genuine about being into playing role playing games and tabletop gaming. Like the two of them really knew what they were talking about.
Yeah,
and I think that has to be reflected in the play of the game. That's what I'm expecting if I play it, is for it to not be a dumbed down experience, for it to be a very genuine role playing game.
Oh,
we've finally gotten out of G.I. Joe after how many years, and card game, like whichever one I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's like Scott and Sarah, aren't they? They're kind of like quite high up in the corporate. I think Scott's the president, actually, isn't he, of the company? So yeah, you've got like, you know, where in a lot of other companies, you'd kind of expect as it gets higher and higher to get further and further away from the core essence of what you're dealing with a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is nice to see them talking about it and being really like, you know, really into it. And you're right. Yeah. Like super kind of on point when it comes to the kind of tabletop gaming aspect of it. And I love the fact that they've kind of hired, you know, people that are really like absolutely longtime fans and deep, you know, in the kind of fandom, people like Ryan Costello and Justin Bell and those kind of people are now included in this, you know, and Robert Atkins, of course, with the artwork. So it's not like a minimal attempt at trying to like squeeze something out with a brand on it. There's more to it, a little bit deeper.
Yeah, for sure. I even heard the My Little Pony set has a G.I. Joe fan working on it. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Amazing. So there you go. That's Mission Critical Chaos Break expansion. We will find out more, obviously, on day two. That is at, like Pat said, at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Next up, though, we got a couple of absolute Sarge bangers, which was really cool. So obviously, they discussed the fact that the Sarge was back in kind of like the Hasbro and like, you know, in the toy line, all that kind of stuff, so that they were allowed then to explore the Sarge themselves as, you know, licensees.
Yes.
I remember, licensor is the person. Yeah, so I always messed that up. Licensees of this particular brand. So they're able to kind of squeeze in some Sergeant Slaughter stuff. Now, the Mission Critical game, I'm not sure if that was as kind of limited as the accessory pack, because the accessory pack isn't a limited edition accessory pack and it won't be available. Once it's gone, it's kind of gone. So if you want to grab, I'd imagine it's probably the same for both that and the Mission Critical Sergeant Slaughter game as well, based on the fact that they're utilizing a license that, you know, obviously it's that tenuous thing, isn't it? It's because the Sarge has got a multi-deal license with Hasbro, but at some point that's going to run out. So they have to kind of take that into consideration. And with this kind of stuff, they're going to do a limited run, therefore not putting themselves in a position where they might have stuff at the back end they have to get rid of and things like that. So it all kind of makes a lot of sense in that, you know, when you think about it that way. But really cool to see the Sarge being introduced into Renegade Game Studios, Pat.
Yeah, it's nice that I don't know who would have been involved on the back end making this happen, making the deal happen so that they could do this. But I love the fact that this time around, it feels like the window for some of the G.I. Joe Sergeant Slaughter stuff has been a little wider.
Yeah.
And somebody actually thought bigger picture.
Yeah.
And it isn't just like one figure that we've gotten now. It's a couple of things that they've worked on.
A lot of people have mentioned that obviously this has the Slaughter's Marauders logo on this accessory pack, and obviously in the classified it's Mad Marauders now. They've kind of switched branding a little bit with the logo, and I think I think from my theory is effectively a simple one. I think, isn't it just the case that classified, knowing that they're going to go a bit further with the Marauders style repaints, they don't want to be in a position where Sarge isn't, you know, under license anymore, and therefore they can't use his name on it. So I'm wondering if that's the case with that. And obviously in this scenario, because it's a limited edition thing, they can churn them out, get them done, one and done, and then once it's over, they don't have to worry about that going forward. Is it that simple, do you think?
It could be. I mean, it would remove all question as to whether or not they could use the name Slaughter's Marauders, but the club used Slaughter's Marauders without Sergeant Slaughter, because I mean his trademark would be on Sergeant Slaughter, not right. just on the word slaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Cross country marauders for all we know, right? It could be Arlen Slaughter's Marauders.
I wonder if at some point that changed. I wonder if maybe the Sarge picked up the trademark for it, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
But then again, like it's kind of cool just to see the Slaughter's Marauders logo at the end of the day. For the consumer, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool. And then obviously we got a little bit more. If you go onto the pre-order page, you get to see the kind of contents of the accessory pack. And what we were kind of like umming and erring over what we were looking at here, but effectively we're expecting this to be the source book on the left, or the cover for the source book on the left. And on the right, we're looking at maybe like a little playing card of some description. But you know, again, I should have done more due diligence on this one, and I haven't. This is the problem. Like, when we get like information that is like just on the pre-order page and maybe whatever's been said in the live stream so far, a lot of it has to be a bit of guesswork because they haven't mentioned what these things are. And on the pre-order page, I'm not sure if it goes into a lot of detail, but if Ryan Costello's watching, I'm sure Ryan would know, and he'll comment and let us know. Ryan, let us know exactly what we're dealing with here, bud. Or if anyone does, and we will definitely shout you out on that one. Anyway, funny thing that to mention on the card on the right, a couple of funny things. First of all, I love the use of Slaughter Monster. that one sounds really gross, but then the other, when you actually think about it, and the next slide will kind of explain it a bit more. Also quite funny, and also Low Light is the only one that got dressed for this one. What do you think of that?
It's odd that Low Light ends up in the Slaughter's outfit, but maybe it's just the fact that Spirit's wearing the blue and his pants look a little greenish, right? But I think they are meant to be just tan.
Where is my Spirit? He must be over there. So I can see Freedom. He's over these miles away. I can't tell. Yeah, I think, and also I've got a feeling this artwork is based a little bit as well on the classified figures.
Yeah, that's probably the case. And that may be even why Low Light is mostly obscured by the vehicle.
That's a really good point, Pat. Yeah, because obviously we know Low Light's coming. We are assuming it's the standard deco. They could come straight out the gate with a Marauders deco though, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. It wouldn't be obviously the first time that we've gotten the sub-team figure prior to the standard release.
Absolutely. Well, we also know that obviously Barbecue is a standard release and he came as a Marauders deco. So it's quite possible that Low Light, once revealed, you know, for the next, well, I can't remember what wave it'll be in, whatever. I'm not sure if it's the next one or the one afterwards. I can't remember. There's been so much revealed so far that I can't keep track of it. And we'll get onto that in a little bit later on, in actual fact, won't we? But coming back to this, Triple T tank in there as well, which is always good to see in the background. Also involved in the accessory pack, we have these little standees, the miniature, and some other little bits and pieces as well that they've kind of thrown up there. So we've got vehicles at the front on there. We've got characters. And one character you may notice, a few people will... Oh, Ryan is there. Here, thank you, Ryan. One is a source book, new options for building characters, and the other is an adventure. Thank you, Ryan. They're not cards at all. Thank you, mate. Much appreciated. There you go. Perfect. I knew having Ryan watch these shows all the time would help, right?
Yeah. For sure.
And the slaughter
comes in handy.
Yeah, big time. Thank you, Ryan. He's like our, he's almost like our Renegade Game Studios researcher slash runner for the live episodes, which is great. Thank you, Ryan. Much appreciated, buddy. And thank you for all the work you do on this as well, mate. It's very much appreciated. And also, I will say, yeah, as I was getting to, the Slaughter Monster refers to the failed Serpentor clone, Marshmallow Monster, the big giant thing that you can see, that kind of thing that's in red towards the kind of right of the group at the top. So that is, that kind of explains that. The Slaughter Monster doesn't refer to anything else dirty or hilarious like I went to in my mind immediately. And we also, of course, have the Sarge miniature as well, which is pretty awesome. But how big is that microphone he's holding, Pat?
Is it a microphone or is it a stick?
It's a stick. It says, don't give him the stick. It's clearly a stick. And I guess it has to be somewhat substantial. Otherwise, how are you going to paint it, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it is rather large.
Kitty said. That's his Slaughter Monster he's holding. Right. Enough of the dirty stuff. I will move on a little bit to suggest that today, the day two, we'll do, like I said, we'll do the recap for day two. That will be kicking off. I think it kicks off early, I think it kicks off at like 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 for us on the East Coast. So you can check the link again in the description for the YouTube link, the stream. And yeah, it's really simple this time. I remember when it was on it was on Discord or Twitch. It was on one of those two. I think it might have been on Discord. And it was a little bit kind of like difficult to kind of keep track of and find videos and stuff. But now that it's on YouTube and it is just one continuous stream, awesome. Very easy for us to check it out.
Overlord is in this set. Is that right?
Sorry, mate?
Overlord is in this set. That's pretty cool.
Is he in there?
Yeah,
he's in there. Yep, there he is. Awesome. You know, yeah, that's the other thing. I haven't really had a good look.
In the Overlord commercial, Slaughter was in it. So that's like a nice connection.
Yeah, again, like, you know that people you know that people that are fans are working on this brand when you see little things like that, when you see Lowlight in the Marauders gear, when you see, you know, the artwork that's done, and when you see the little homages that are kind of dropped in there. And especially in this case, yeah, the fact that Overlord's in there is fantastic. Brilliant stuff. I didn't notice that, and I really have not checked or looked close enough. I can see Mutton Junkyard at the front. And I can see.
Junkyard has his own character tile.
Isn't that brilliant?
It's nice.
And I think Duke there, and there's all sorts. Lady J.
Falcon.
Yes.
Footloose, Lowlight, Barbecue, Mercer.
Makes sense. Morris. Makes sense to have a lot of those kind of those particular characters in there. Absolutely.
Yep.
All right then. Cool. Right then, we'll be moving on, I think. Yeah, moving on to the next. Like I said, check out Renegade Game Studios today at whatever I said it was, 10 a.m. it kicks off, but 11 a.m. for the G.I. Joe panel, and then again at 4:20, and I'm talking Pacific time here, and then at 4:20/7:20 for the painting stream. Okay, next up then, and we had arguably the biggest news of the week, and we haven't even had a live event yet, Pat. It's in classified news.
What a week it has been. On Tuesday, an email sent out to UK customers regarding the Transformers reveals that day added a special note at the end to suggest expecting something special for G.I. Joe Day. The recently adopted date of February the 1st to commemorate the beginning of the G.I. Joe brand back in the 60s has become a regular thing, but I don't think anybody was expecting what was to follow the next day. On Wednesday, Hasbro Pulse began dropping G.I. Joe related posts. The first was a special offer of money off with certain amounts spent on G.I. Joe items. Then we had our first classified reveal of the day with Snow Job. Just as we were picking our jaws off the floor, they hit us again with Scrap Iron and his anti-armor drone. If that wasn't enough, we also got a look at the Joe Trooper 2-pack, which just so happened to be the Steel Core, male and female, with jetpacks, alternate heads and other assorted accessories. But wait, there's more. Yes, to finish off the day, the final reveal gave us the Tele Viper with the Trouble Bubble. The post explained that they would all be pre-orders later in the year, and with a brand new live event coming soon, you wonder what else they have in store for us.
Oh, slow down. just pump those brakes. awesome stuff for G.I. Joe Day. Was not expecting anything. Do you know what? Like, I didn't even realize it was G.I. Joe Day. Fake fan right here. Two, so I didn't realize it was coming up, is what I'm saying. Even though we've had we've had it a couple of years now, but like I think they're making more of a big deal out of it now that the brand is kind of, you know, has returned a little bit and it is, you know, kind of a bit healthier in that sense. So, my goodness. I did not expect those reveals, did you?
No, I didn't. Because wasn't it like the night before that there was like the rumor that something was going on? And then, I'm going to have to mark my calendar to remember G.I. Joe Day.
It's an easy one. It's February the 1st. But yes, you're right. I the same for me. Like I was kind of that little note that popped up. I wasn't expecting anything other than, you know, that little special offer they did for the to celebrate the Joe Day, because the live event's just around the corner. You know, like we're talking, it's going to be this month. It's probably going to be soon, like within like the next week or two. So the fact that they decided to drop some of the really big like render reveals that they've already done name drops for to a degree. They did, let's go through them one by one. They started off with Snow Job. And this was an interesting one because there are a number of little things that they've done to this particular design that kind of lean closer for me into how they kind of started the classified line. And that is to take a character that you know and to upgrade it a little bit into the kind of classified, you know, styling. And they've kind of done that here. They've kind of balanced it in two different ways. What are your thoughts on it though, Pat?
Yeah, it's a good example of that, because even just the changes in equipment and technology over the years, that it may be weird to give Snowjob some skis that are not, you know, more modern technology and put them on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to give him the 1980s skis. I don't know. I don't ski, but I don't really know that that's how skis look anymore. I thought they looked more like this, which is what, you know, this figure kind of reminds me a little bit of the Pursuit of Cobra figure as well.
Yes.
As far as the gear goes, but it also reminds me of the 25th figure.
Something. Yes, absolutely. It's like, it's got the body of the 25th, hasn't it? But then the gear of the Pursuit of Cobra to a degree. Yeah. Are you a little sad there aren't things like, you know, like the tent and the other things that they threw in there, like the little kind of stove and things like that?
Honestly, you know how I feel about that line, that it was just phenomenal. I don't think it's fair to expect every figure going forward to be as good as Pursuit of Cobra.
Sure.
They packed so much into those packages. This is a lot of stuff here, to be honest.
Yeah.
The snowshoes are a little bit beyond what I was expecting from a new snow job.
Yeah. It's cool. Like it's what I love the backpack. I think the backpack's really cool. I think the the snowshoes, the skis, the ski poles,
the extra head.
Now I've got a few extra details about this particular figure. All of his gear fits on his backpack, by the way. The snowshoes, the skis, and the ski poles, and the rifle all go on that backpack. So the pistol goes obviously in his holster. Now with the heads, you're looking at two separate head sculpts and two separate hood accessories as well. So it's not like that head is sculpted with a hood on it, the one on the figure.
I was going to ask you that.
So the reason they've done it is because he's wearing, I think you can kind of see it in the image, but he's wearing like a cap on his head.
The same thing that the 25th figure had.
Exactly. And it's because basically the hood doesn't fit with the hair styled version. So you've got two effective options for display there. In actual fact, you've got more than two. You've got three options, because you've got the skull cap with the hood up and down. That's two. And then you've got the hair with the hood down as another option. So that's really cool. And obviously the goggles being separate is also a really good idea, because then you can utilize it on both heads, which is awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I assume, because it may stretch out a little bit more over the hair.
Possibly. Well, I mean, we'll, again, it might be more, it might make more sense that it fits the one with the skull cap on and doesn't fit the one with the hair. That, right. That would make more sense anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, it could be that if you pop it on from the underside of the head,
that's true.
It'll fit on there.
That's true. Again, yeah, awesome figure. Love this one. Now, there's another additional element I want to talk to you about there, Pat, and that's in the deco. Now, they've done like this kind of almost like, you know, kind of gray, and it's almost like a gray base with white in places, or you could probably argue both ways in a sense, because the body almost looks like the pouches and some of the side elements are white. And then on the arms, it looks like, you know, the pouches are gray. And then you look at the legs and it kind of has that almost like if this was a Marauders figure, you could see how the Marauder deco would be lined up in a weird way. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. There's the brown on there, though, is the thing that stands out to me, because it kind of reminds me of is it the past and present version of the 25th one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that came with the battle bear and the
The grays give it some color separation rather than it just being a solid white figure without it looking, you know, so obviously like a deep gray or totally different than what the original figure looked like.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah. The other thing I'm probably going to hazard a guess here at is there's an option here, isn't there? Now that retro is kind of not necessarily off the table, like the kind of vintage carded classified line, you could almost do a repaint of this Snowjob in all white and minimize his gear to the point where he just had the skis and the rifle and the pistol, and you'd kind of and give him like a retro inspired backpack, and you've got another use of Snowjob in a way, haven't you?
Yeah, I think that at some point the big thing that's absent here is the Snowjob rifle.
Exactly, yes.
That kind of became the standard for the entire G.I. Joe team. And it's obvious why, because the cartoon was going with lasers, and that was the laser gun that was actually in the toy line that was not, you know, flashes with a hose and or a wire and a backpack. It was just a compact thing that had a standard shape that they could, you know, put in every character's hand. So it's a little kind of almost strange that Snowjob doesn't have his rifle that's so iconic that would have been a big seller. So
yeah.
I expect to see that rifle at some point. And yeah, if they did a retro Snowjob, it would make a lot of sense to me for it to be in there.
And also the repaint being so simple and just everything, just make everything white. And you've got effectively the figure from the vintage era going on, haven't you? That's the beauty part of that.
Yeah.
Matt O'Brien's is a good point here. I could see buying more of these Snowjobs and throwing other heads on there like Duke and Scarlet. That is absolutely genius. Well, not Scarlet, but Snake Eyes, yeah. It could be a bulky suit she's wearing. You never know. But yeah, definitely. I think putting different heads on there would be a really good idea. But then again, this is a deluxe figure, don't forget, guys. So this is going to be probably going to be a little bit more expensive.
Oh, this is a deluxe figure? I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look at the amount of gear. He's a deluxe. Also, right. If you look at how these kind of have been revealed, it looks like they're doing some of the more substantial releases for G.I. Joe Day, the kind of more kind of heavy hitting kind of options. And speaking of heavy hitting, Bosch, Scrap Iron, and his anti-tank drone, or anti-tank, as some people might say. How is your anti-tank? How is your anti-tank? Is she all right? Is she doing all right? Pat, Scrap Iron, what are your thoughts before I go into mine?
Probably the biggest thing that I'm focused on is his pet. I think they had called it. We were like, Scrap Iron with pet. What's like? It just has to be the missile launcher.
What do you feed that thing? What do you feed that thing? Missiles. That's what you
missiles.
Feed.
Yeah. This is what I like. I was kind of wondering if it was going to be, because like I was picturing the missile launcher on legs. Honestly, as soon as I heard pet.
Yeah,
I was imagining like a Boston Dynamics robot.
Yes, they said articulated as well, didn't they? So I was assuming, yeah, that would be like legs, yeah, like a spider or something, yeah, or the dog, yeah.
Yeah, but the way that this is, it really reminds me of a pack rat. And I'm, for a long time, I wanted, like, with other brands having Build-A-Figures out there, it was always in my mind that they could either do bats or zombies or pack rats as a pack-in that you could then build.
Yeah, so that actually sounds quite cute.
It almost feels like I'm getting that modular pack rat that I've kind of always wanted. And I wonder if they could do that out of this or make it compatible, or if this is compatible with the his tank. I don't know. That's where my focus is on that in this pack.
I look at this as well and I just think, wow. You know, it's one of those things where you see it, when you first see it, you're kind of drawn a little bit to all the other paraphernalia going on in the image. And you kind of forget the fact that Scrap Iron's there. You kind of like go, my God, there's a tank with missiles on it and there's loads of blast effects and effect like screechy, skid marky effects kind of thing. And then, oh yeah, Scrap Iron's involved too. And that Scrap Iron figure is absolutely gorgeous. Like, I think it's proper dope. And that, you know, we could be looking at a removable helmet on him.
Yeah. Yeah, and he would have his scarred face underneath. Is it scarred?
Yeah, there's definitely a little scarring going on the exposed bit of face on there, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Obviously, he's got his pistol as well.
Yeah, next to his mouth.
Yeah, the little remote is really cute as well. It's kind of like an update from the, you know, I was kind of almost expecting the cable or a pipe, you know, to, you know, like from on the original figure kind of going into the anti-armor drone. Yeah, but then
even the Nerf Terra Scout doesn't have to have
the joke being that it would be that kind of old school raid, you know, remote control, and he has to run behind it as it's as it's doing like 50 miles an hour. He's like, or he just sits on the top of it as he guns it around everywhere. But you're right, the Nerf Terra Scout, it's very Nerf Terra Scout, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah for sure.
That's awesome. In fact, now I want
it as a Nerf Terra Scout.
I want them to do that. A little Scrap Iron Cobra branded Nerf Terra Scout would be amazing in this way. But anyway, yeah, very, very cool. They do, Nostalgia JT, you're right. They usually show the removable helmet on the render. They do. But sometimes, and I've got a feeling they might be hiding some things because they want to show them off on the live event. So there could be things like that too. Bees Battlegrounds says, I thought one of the sculptor's artists said his helmet comes off to see his scarred face and scowl. There you go. I believe that is the case, and I think that's why it was in my head, because a few people have mentioned that in the past. Diana's asked, do the treads move? Don't know. That's one that we'd have to like wait and see on, but what do you think, Pat? Do you think that'd be too much for the size of it and everything?
Yeah, I'm thinking they probably don't move. That's my guess. They look like a different color, though.
Yeah, there's definitely different like deco going on there.
Sometimes in these renders, you can almost see spaces in between things. Like even the joints, the figures, you can see spaces between sometimes.
Yeah.
That are not in a way that you would ever see on the actual figure.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm trying to look at the pieces to see how the parts are separated out. And it does look like the treads, I don't know, the treads look like they're a separate piece, but that may just be the way that they are sculpted, but I would not assume that it rolls.
Yeah. Danny of Our Time says that Scrap Iron could be customized to skid mark or tread mark. But yes, Danny, I like your thinking on that one. That's actually a pretty good shout, actually. Yeah, and I just wanted to make that clear because I would love a skid mark / tread mark in the line. It'd be awesome. And I say Treadmark because that's his new name, and it's the name that he had in the UK. Robert H. says, this just makes me want Tripwire to have a Minesweeper robot. Who knows what he's going to come with? I would be a little bit upset if they did some sort of like Lightfoot Tripwire merge and he ended up getting something like, you know, like that. But no, I think, because that would probably, you know, definitely cut Lightfoot out of ever being done in the line, which I'm still holding. I'm still holding a little hope, you know, that they do venture into some of those kind of characters at some point. Pat, you're smiling in the background there. Do you not think Lightfoot's ever going to happen?
He could, He could. I'm not thinking that. I don't know. Even back whenever the figures were coming out in the 80s, there was part of me that was just like, well, why isn't that the same character? You know, when are they releasing that suit? It's like, why isn't that just a new Torpedo?
Yeah.
You've made a new Snake Eyes.
They kind of did that a little bit, didn't they?
They did that a lot. Yeah.
And then there's a whole section where you kind of look at them and go, ah, that downtown's got to be Short Fuse. There's no doubt about it. Backblast Zap, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
There's
There's a lot of that, especially with in 89, they were bringing characters back at that point. So then you look at downtown, and it's just like, how is that not Short Fuse?
Flash and Sci-Fi. Has anyone ever made that connection before? Maybe.
Yeah. Even as a kid, I was just like, this is weird, because I was a big fan of Flash in 82. That was like the figure I used the most. So
what I will say about that though, Pat, is it does like create this bigger roster where you can then have a special team dedicated to the same similar.
Yes.
So, you know, like the kind of the laser squad would be pretty damn cool. Do you know what
eventually
I mean?
Eventually, there was a benefit to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying though, totally.
But whenever Lightfoot came out, it was just like, Tripwire is my mind detector guy. Not that it wouldn't be useful to have two guys, you know, looking for explosives and mines.
A bit more ground that way. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Viper Scout says Blast Effects HISS compatible. I would imagine so. I imagine all of the Blast Effects are going to be HISS compatible, Viper Scout in that sense. Don't know. We'll obviously that'll be probably covered whenever they talk about this on the next live stream. People are saying the sculptor has confirmed the helmet is removable. Brilliant. Okay, awesome. Happy about that. Thank you guys. Much appreciated for all the comments on that. Ed says, Tripwire could get the bomb defusing robot and Lightfoot can keep the mind detecting bot. That's a good point, actually. Yeah, you could definitely do that. But almost give Tripwire that upgrade that, you know, like Tunnel Rat came with, that kind of bomb disposal robot. And then Lightfoot can keep that really cool, very unique and special. I'm probably a bit biased, but you know what I mean. Something you mentioned earlier, Pat, about builder figures, and something that I mentioned in my video that quite a few people watched the other day. Thank you, by the way, for watching the classified Cobra vehicles deep dive. Now, on that video, I mentioned that I wasn't really I couldn't see many options for builder figure pack-ins for like a five-figure wave or whatever. But when you mentioned pack rats, I was kind of thinking, actually, you know what? That wouldn't be too difficult to do. You could have like the main body split into two pieces. The missiles could be like a separate piece. And then like the treads could be two separate pieces. So you've got like five separate things to go in a five-figure pack, right? I'm only picking out the missile one as an example, but then obviously, you know, and that works, you know, with all of the pack rats, basically.
Yeah.
You could get five parts out of each of those pack rats. A lot of people were saying the snake armor would be a good one to do for a build a figure pack in.
Yeah. That would be.
But I kind of see that as almost like a figure and vehicle pack. Do you know what I mean? I kind of see that as doing like a figure and a vehicle kind of combination.
Well, you know, with the other Build-A-Figures right now in the other Hasbro brands, and it's to the frustration of some people, I don't really collect the Marvel Legends at all, so it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
But they have been doing the Build-A-Figure, and then maybe a year later, on not every Build-A-Figure, but on some figures, they'll do like a new head or just a little bit of a new deco and release it on its own. So if they did a Snake Armor as a vehicle pack-in, I don't see any problem with doing it also as a Build-A-Figure.
Right.
Not that we're going to get Build-A-Figures, because I think that's an added cost.
Yeah.
But honestly, at the same time, with the way costs have risen in recent years, a lot of times the way that they soften the blow of a rise in price is by having just a little bit more in the package at the time.
Yeah.
And Build-A-Figures would be a way of doing that. The way I always envisioned the pack rats, though, was a lot more simple. Like maybe there'd be a top, middle, and then bottom, so that you could actually have like either guns or missiles up top, and then the bottom just being like wheels or treads,
right,
or whatever conveyance maybe there in the bottom. So you could kind of mix and match so that it would be a build a figure, but you wouldn't have to buy an entire wave and you could just do what you wanted.
Totally. Yeah, Ryan's saying this. I mentioned this on the video as well, that the Joe equivalent of the Cobra Snake armor could be Deep Six in his big old diving suit. What I think would be funny about that as well, Ryan, is that you could have Deep Six in his underpants. So he'd just have like a little vest on and a little pair of tighty whities.
Just like a dickie.
Yeah, how funny would that be? But I think it would probably make more sense to do him as like his version 2 get up. So you've got effectively two figures for the price of one going on. That'd be kind of fun though, wouldn't it, Pat? Would you be into that? Like have him like utilizing like Torpedo's wetsuit or something, but you know, in like a different kind of deco or something.
Well, there's always the way that he appeared with like the sweater and sometimes the sweater cap.
Yes.
You know, if he just was like that and then had the the G.I. Joe armor separate. I do think that'd be a great thing to do because they could make it. The parts maybe interchangeable.
Do you know how simple they could do it? It wouldn't even have to be something you open up like a snake armor. It could be really basic and you could just put the head on the top. You could take the head off the figure and stick it on top of the... So you've effectively got, you know... Yeah, that would be so cool. Anyway, we've kind of gone off topic here, but thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. That's awesome. And a few people are talking about doing, you know, the snake as a builder figure. Maybe that is the gray one, and then you could do like a blue one or a red one or a Python Patrol one or, you know, in like another kind of way, which obviously makes a lot more sense, especially with Python Patrol, where we've already, you know, we've seen that they've done the Tiger Force Ram. So we know that they're up for doing vehicles that have never been in a sub-team before. So like a Python Patrol snake armor would be cool. And then you could throw in another character that maybe like we wouldn't expect necessarily. Like the Hiss Driver would probably come with like a Python Patrol Hiss, wouldn't they, at some point? Who would you have?
Well, the Hiss Driver with the snake armor would be a nice callback to Action Force.
Well, that's what I was originally getting to that. And then when I said Hiss Driver out loud, it kind of went, but, you know, that would go with...
If it was like a redeco of it, I think that'd be just fine. You know, it'd be a way to get the figure... Yeah, it's... The snake armor is one of the vehicles that didn't have a driver originally. So that's the one time that it kind of did on a global scale. And it makes... To me, that makes sense to do a redeco of it that would be specific to the snake armor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is everything possible about Scrap Iron and everything else. then we had this little reveal. My word. So Steel Core 2-pack. This was the Trooper 2-pack they were talking about. Male and female. Jump jet packs. Lots of blast effects and lots of alternate heads. There's a lot going on in this set, isn't there, Pat?
There is. It's the alternate heads that kind of surprised me. I wouldn't have expected those from a Steel Reed pack. And I really like the way that they handled the armor.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, the shoulder armor is... It definitely has to be removable because you can see what arms they've used. So it's existing body parts there, which means that armor definitely comes off. And you can see the separation between the shoulders and the torso. And I like that because it kind of has the original version 1 Steel Brigade look if you had the shoulder armor off.
Yeah.
But then with it on, it kind of also reminds me of the Toys R Us set from the new sculpt era.
The pack. Yeah.
O-ring sculpt era. Yeah, the 6-pack.
Was that the Steel Brigade versus...
Plague. Yeah.
Plague, yes. Guillotine Was it... I can't remember the other two in there, but they were effectively Iron Grenadier repaints, weren't they?
Well, they weren't repaints, but they looked like Iron Grenadiers because those heads were new at the time.
I have always assumed, I've never looked at it deep enough. I've always just assumed they were repainted Iron Grenadier figures. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was two new heads on Snake Eyes, on a Snake Eyes body.
I'm going to have to look at that set again because I feel like I've been tricked my entire life.
That was a winning set, and everyone looked at it and said, well, we're getting Iron Grenadier. There's just something about those heads that do feel like they are meant for Iron Grenadiers, but
Yeah.
They had not been. That was a new head at the time.
Yeah, totally. And someone just mentioned here, Leon Jarmo, steel core torso and scrap iron legs means airborne. That's actually a good point here, because you can kind of see, can't you? You can kind of see that. Thank you, by the way, Leon. You can kind of see that there's other figures they can make out of this. Like, airborne is one that we've kind of been expecting at some point soon, and that kind of lends a little bit more credibility that we might see airborne, and maybe even Starduster.
Yeah, it looks like it's the beachhead torso and arms with new armor on it. But yeah, you could use pieces from that and still make those other characters for sure.
Yeah,
and Starduster feels like a shoo-in. We kind of talked about this last week. Like, I was expecting jump jetpacks when he said land in air, and it's troopers. It's going to be jump jetpacks.
Funny enough, this is the thing, right? Usually when I have an idea like this, I always go, nah, you know what? It's not going to be what I think it is. And I just said, maybe jetpacks. But in my mind, I was thinking it won't be that, because it will be something that won't be that. And I've just thought of that because that's, you know, it was just like a passing thought, I thought. And this comes up and it's like, oh, no, they're doing the jump jetpacks. Amazing. So, yeah, really excited for this. And this means, obviously, that, you know, Stalker gets his jetpack as well.
Right.
You know, like, you've got there's loads of kind of like other opportunities for these. Duke gets his jetpack.
Shouting Duke.
Exactly. Are we going to get
shouting?
Dude, I think if they could pull off, if they could get like a real, you know, get Fred Axon on the old sculpting duties, if they could get a really cool Duke in some sort of like, you know, screaming Yo Joe kind of facial expression.
Yeah.
You could easily do a retro carded Duke re-release with a flag, with the jetpack, with the, you know, the, all that kind of stuff in there, and you could get like almost like a movie inspired figure out of it.
Yeah, and there's the second use of that Snowjob rifle that we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Anyway, we've kind of gone off topic here. Yeah, I've got to say, I love the alternate heads with the kind of almost like the pilot heads. Very cool addition, that. Very.
Yeah,
cool.
It's. I'm curious to see what those look like, because obviously we're just seeing the front on view. I really want to see what those look like, you know, in three dimensions.
Absolutely, and you never know. We might be seeing that soon.
And these are heads, though, right? They're not helmets.
No, I believe they're all alternate heads. Yes.
Yeah.
They're head sculpts. Yeah. They're not like removable helmets or anything.
Yeah. I ask because the most obvious use of this would be selfie series.
Oh, mate, I was literally just going there. You beat me to the segue. I appreciate it. No, I appreciate it very much. So yes, selfie series. I am definitely going to be putting that ugly mug. It's the same as my face. Look, see, that is the same, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah, it's you got a good one. I felt like the one that I got was pretty accurate as well.
I got lucky, definitely. Yeah, no, yours is really good, I thought. The first one you sent me, I'm sure, didn't you send us a couple of like attempts beforehand?
Right. Yeah.
They were terrible. And I had a few as well that I should have sent you guys. They were awful, my first attempts.
Yeah, again, I'm going to say, if you're going to do the selfie series, don't do it in your house or in a building at night. Don't take the pictures there. Just go outside in daylight at some point and do the scanning from there, because that's going to be the best all around light. Because that's what I did as I was testing it. And the one that I went with was outside, and my figure came out better than what other people were getting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that there really is something to it. Just, I know that a lot of people maybe have a bathroom that has good lighting. That's good lighting in my house, but it wasn't anywhere near as good as just going outside and doing it from there.
That's so true. I had the same kind of issues with mine. I was doing them like in with kind of like the, you know, the fake light almost.
Yeah.
And it wasn't looking right. It was almost like, it wasn't even washed out. It just didn't look good. And then when, yeah, like I went outside and took a few, and I was like, oh yeah, well, not, sorry. I opened the blinds and just had natural
light.
Right.
Even doing that is going to be helpful. Yeah.
And it was great. It was, yeah, much better. And I must've done about seven attempts the first time around. And when I got the one I liked, I didn't accidentally get rid of it. I just thought, no, I can do better. and then did it again, and was like, and then had to do it another kind of six times to get where back to where I thought it was, you know, working.
It's not
an exact science yet, is it?
No, it's not. And it would be nice if you had like the ability to hold one in order to try to keep taking the picture to upgrade when you're doing the selfie series, because it was a little bit frustrating that you kind of had to get rid of the one that existed beforehand in order to try again. Because it's like, well, is the new one I go going to be better? Kind of gambling whenever you start it again.
Yeah, it felt like a gamble each time, didn't it? Like rolling the dice each time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Steel Core, male and female, Trooper 2 pack with all sorts of goodies in that one. And again, the jump jet packs, effectively, technically, this is a vehicle packing, is it not, Pat? Would you say?
Well, no, it feels like you have to have
the pad.
The landing pad with the control thing and the dedicated controller/gun that the original jump had with a hose going to it.
I'll give you that one.
Vehicle. But as this is, it's more of a Starduster type accessory.
I'm still going to call it a vehicle, but yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. This is funny, isn't it? This is where, like, I mean, technically that is a man-made object that gets you from a point A to point B in a way that you couldn't if you were walking. So effectively, technically, it is a vehicle. But when it comes to like that whole, you know, if you're on Yojo or something and you're separating things in terms of like, specifications and stuff, you're right. This does fall into an odd gray area, I think, as well.
It does.
I didn't include it, obviously, in my video for the G.I. Joe vehicles. That's because, well, this wasn't out at the time. I wasn't aware it was coming. So, awesome stuff. Right. Next up then. Boom. Telly Viper and the Trouble Bubble. Wowzers. Now, I'm going to quickly jump on here and say I was high expectations for both of these things. And I came out the other end very, very happy with what they did. The Telly Viper, I think, looks fantastic. I like the fact he's got alternate heads. Obviously, different ethnicity head. And then, obviously, you've got... Now, this is something that I have done a bit of research in after the fact. When I first did my reactions, I thought it was an empty helmet, but it's not. It is a... It's almost like a... And it's because it's got this hexagon-like pattern on the eye section.
Yeah, you're viewing it. That's the difficulty of looking at things that aren't actually in 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is like a robot head, but like a almost like your kind of like full face coverage for a Telly Viper, and it looks kind of dope. When I did a quick zoom in and had a proper look at it, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, His overall look kind of looks to me like, I don't know, it makes me think of high school whenever a football player would wear long sleeves that you're not used to seeing on their uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of how he looks to me.
I think that, RKW was like, I told you, Chris. Yeah, you did tell me RKW, and thank you very much for telling me. Are you talking about the helmet, the kind of like the full face coverage one?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, no, I get what you're saying on that, Pat. But you what, bud?
On the helmet that's covered, it's not just like they're covering the goggles and the skin. If you look, the chin of the helmet is actually also changed.
Well, yeah, it's there's a proper like full on, you know, different thing going on there, definitely.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I think the getting around the fact that they've got two different ethnicity alternate heads. Doing that with the arms makes a lot of sense. Like, I get it. I don't think it takes anything away from me. I think he looks awesome. I'm really excited for this figure. Love the fact they gave him his retro accessories, Pat. Love that. The backpack, the cable, the blooming, the TV gun.
Yeah, awesome. It's nice that it's not just hoses that we're getting, a sculpted thing with, it's not, you know, just a, you know, craft store hose that's been cut off and put in there, like the the original figures had. No, I loved that.
No, I did. I did. There was something simplistic but also effective about that. Simple but effective.
There was, yeah.
So, no, I agree with you. I like they've done more detail, and you've got, like, ports almost that you could imagine would lock in. Like, you'd plug it in, and it would, like, clip or twist and lock in. There's something very cool about that that I definitely dig. But I'm loving this. The Trouble Bubble looks fantastic. The additional seat belt is a great touch. Just really, really happy with everything. And I hope that, one, that the engine thing comes off at the back and can be utilized as, like, some sort of back jetpack, because I think that would be so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case, but I think that would be great if that was the case.
The 25th one did that, right?
I believe so. Yeah. I know the original vintage one popped off, but it wouldn't go onto anything.
Right.
But it did pop off. And the fact that someone mentioned there was no mine with this, but you never know. Like, maybe they just couldn't fit it in. It was too busy for the render. So maybe they're going to show that, you know, when it comes to it. Who knows? It might not be included. But it's a shame if the mine isn't included, in my opinion. Get it, Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. That's why he burst into raucous laughter. thank you, Matt O'Brien, for another Super Chat, buddy. What are you and Pat thinking the price will be on the Joe 2-pack? I'm praying it's affordable, but get $70 vibes from it. Love you guys. Love you too, Matt. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't get $70 vibes from it. I'm getting $60-$65 vibes from it.
Okay. I get $70 vibes off Matt because he's constantly giving us Super Chats. But yeah, Matt, I have to say, bud, I'm probably in the same group as Pat with that one. I don't really know.
I mean, if you take $25, which is roughly the cost of a figure, right?
You got 50.
Multiply that by two,
yeah,
and you get $50. You know, I kind of felt like the Viper pack was way overpriced.
Yeah, agreed.
Because if you're going to do a multi-pack, it's my assumption, you know, that it's always the deal where there's a little bit of economies of scale that are shared between the consumer and the manufacturer. So taking something and multiplying it and putting it all in a pack, it's not going to cost the same per item. It'll be a little less. So really it should be like 25 times two and some savings, but then you're getting more gear and stuff than
two jetpacks, multiple rifles, blast effects.
Yeah. Two
heads.
Yeah. The blast effects are really where I'm just like, if they could, like, I know that whenever I see that price, I'm going to be looking at those blast effects like I don't want them in there. Because it's the same guns and blast effects from the Viper 3.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think the blast effects are good for people doing photography. For me, I don't really have a use for them, and kind of wish that they would vary them up a little bit more, because you know, the same plume of smoke coming out of multiple guns at the same time doesn't make a lot of sense for photography to me.
Well, it's a good job they've got the same guns as well then, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
But you know, I know exactly what you mean, dude. No, I get that. I think we're going to get to a point where the people that wanted blast effects and were very vocal about it, we're probably going to get to the point where it's like, okay, yeah, I've had enough blast effects now, thank you, you can stop doing that. But I've got a feeling that is,
sorry.
No, go on, dude.
I'm probably saying that as a Transformers fan who, after a little while of the blast effects coming in with those, just like, oh, come on, I already have like five or six of this one, and I know it's adding to my cost. I really would just rather have something else in that pack.
Right.
I mean, we could have gotten the Snowjob rifle in there instead.
Yeah, of course. But thank you, Matt. Appreciate the super chat on that one. Mr. Cheeseburger says, imagine Mindbender fighting Slaughter in that Trouble Bubble. That is exactly what I'm imagining, Mr. Cheeseburger. That's the best name ever. That, or the scene in the movie where Snake Eyes takes over the Trouble Bubble and does the flip into it. Probably one of the most iconic G.I. Joe things of all time, would you say, Pat? Is the Snake Eyes flip into a Trouble Bubble?
Yeah, well, that's why they installed the seat belt. They learned right then.
Snake Eyes is just going to be kicking homies out of it all day long. That's why.
Unless the seat belt was there and they just keep replaying that in like Cobra training, like that moment. Like, this is the important, you know, buckle up. Don't be a dummy.
Buckle
your safety belt.
Absolutely genius. Yeah, just really dope. Guys, thanks so much for all the comments. There's so many. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. I'm so sorry. Thank you, though. Thank you. And apologies if we don't get to everybody's. You know, we try now, but honestly, we're so big and so popular now. It's really difficult. I'm joking. But it is difficult to try and get to everyone's. We really appreciate all the comments. Thank you so much. Anyway, that is that for the news. Well, we might as well bring it to a close there, Pat, and also maybe throw in one last thing about the live event that's going to be coming this month. Are you just drowning in G.I. Joe at the moment? What are you expecting from that event, I should say?
Well, it looks like the Star Wars side of things and Indiana Jones have cooled down on pre-orders, but I don't know that that's going to happen. Do you think that G.I. Joe is going to go to the no pre-order model or not?
I don't know, really. Like, I feel like most of their stuff is... No, I still think it'll be pre-orders, honestly. But the thing is, I guess, is we had this conversation, didn't we, multiple times offline about whether we are pre-order or not pre-order anymore. And I kind of shifted away a little bit from pre-orders. Like quite early on, I was like, actually, I'm not going to start doing the pre-order thing. It's too stressful. And most like there hasn't been one figure so far that I've been like, I haven't been able to get that. And yes, right. I have other hookups. Thanks, Nick and In-Demand Toys, of the guys at In-Demand Toys. Obviously, I have that hookup. So that's slightly different. But I feel like, you know, getting something like a little bit easier on my stress levels is probably something I wanted to do, you know, like personally. But but the thing is, these things still sell out. Like the pre-orders sell out like all the time. Not every single one. Like there's been a few recent months where some of the pre-orders have kind of stayed around a little bit longer. But I think there's an added addition there of increased amounts of this product. So there's kind of like an interesting kind of balance there, I guess you'd say, that hasn't necessarily been found yet. But yeah, I would say there's probably going to be pre-orders, but I personally don't necessarily go that route. What about yourself?
I've kind of cut out most of my pre-orders. I think right now I'm waiting on CoverGirl, and that may be it as far as ones that I've pre-ordered, because, you know, I'm trying to go back to what I used to do. I like kind of having the blend of the two, because I'm sure that whenever people pre-order things, that they can use those numbers to help better gauge the order quantity that they should be making.
Yeah.
And if there's a no pre-order system, there's a real danger to not making the correct number of things.
Yeah.
So I don't like that. But I also didn't like the stress of having a bazillion pre-orders, and that was how I had to do things. Cause I really like being able to go into the store and, you know, if you're having a bad day and suddenly you walk in there and Televiper with a flight pod is there, it's just a better day.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry, Matt desperately wants us to deal with this question. Thank you, Matt. Another very generous super chat. Thank you very much, mate. I hate complaining. Actually, you're not one for complaining about, I will say. But have you heard anything about the QA issues that have been going on? I'm not sure if they changed factories or cut the QA department down, but it seems a lot of people are having issues more frequently. Sorry, I'm fully aware that there have been a lot of QA issues, 100%. The Sky Striker, for one, Pat. I mean, didn't you have issues with yours?
You know, for the most part, I'm pretty happy, but that's also based on like what other people are posting, you know.
I mean, technically, you do have the Scarlet Crossbow issue.
Everybody does. I was asked that last week, and I didn't know yet because I hadn't opened my figures, but I have opened all of them. And a large reason why I opened all of them, like right away, not right away, but I was just like, you know, I need to get on this, because I could have seen myself leaving them just to enjoy over time, maybe open one or two here and there, because I bought it to open, so I was going to do that. But I opened all of them in one night because it was just like, you know, is the failsafe arm going to fall off on mine after I open it? You know, it's there was that paranoia of I need to know if everything is okay so that I can report it to Hasbro as soon as possible if I need to. And that shouldn't be something that is, you know, that I'm paranoid about. But I get I get defective stuff all the time. I'm actually, even on the Transformers end, I'm waiting on an Optimus Prime replacement as we speak.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the super chat. But yeah, no, that's, you know, one thing I will say is I haven't had, genuinely haven't had any of those kind of issues where it's like, I've got to send this back or I've got to like call them and let them know something, yada, yada, yada. The only thing I will say is that I noticed obviously elements of Dusty where he, obviously his hat didn't fit properly anymore. And you know, that shouldn't have been the case. So I had to do that thing with the goggles. But that, again, that's everyone's problem with Dusty. Do you know what I mean? And then I also found out that some rifles got the blast effect port and some didn't. Mine did not, which is a shame. But at the same point, like, I wasn't like, I need a new rifle with a blast port in it. You know, like, I'm not that fussed, honestly. So, yes, I have noticed certain kind of quality it dips, shall we say. There was the bazooka elbow scenario as well. There was that situation, wasn't there, where he had the slightly different color on the elbow plastic to the arms. Yeah. So again, slightly different plastic. And I think the same for Recondo in that sense. Again, not to the point where I was like, but yeah, definitely some quality issues, I think, creeping out there. And I would assume there has been a change at some point, as Matt mentioned, maybe of a factory down the road somewhere. So that's probably my guess as to what's happened there, is things have had to be switched around and changed, and you know, those kind of issues have happened, basically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've seen some really rough paint on some mustaches and some things like that.
Again, I got really lucky with that. I showed you my Recondo the other day, didn't I? Like, absolutely solid.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that people just rush to call something a quality control problem whenever, you know, I think that in our minds, we have to separate the design issues from quality control issues.
True.
Because, you know, quality control is more about making sure that there's consistency to what is coming out is what was designed.
I 100%. Yes.
So we have to separate those in our mind, because I see a lot of times people complain about quality control, which it's sometimes difficult to tell, because like on Scarlet's crossbow, I'm going to say that probably was a quality thing that should have been checked early on, because I doubt that they designed it without the handle, but
yeah,
probably the 3D file had that in there as a layer or something, and it was turned off when they printed the thing.
Definitely.
Or it was a support, or I don't know how they did that, but it didn't end up with it, and that's a shame. But yeah, there's things like Mindbender's cape leaching onto his plastic that just kind of shouldn't been something that was allowed to happen, but it did.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do see there being a little more of a problem, but I don't know what they're going to do to fix it. And it's not as rampant as it has been sometimes. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd also probably go out and say, like, all of the things that were kind of mentioned, they're not so bad that it's causing me any kind of concern necessarily. And I feel like, obviously, with some of these things happening with some of the figures, I've got a feeling that there was also that's what felt like a mad rush at the end of last year. It felt like an absolute, like, just get everything out and get it delivered as soon as possible. So I feel like that might have had something to do with it, like that kind of the kind of like, we need to kind of up this to get the bottleneck sorted again, to get this kind of a rhythm going again. So maybe there's that aspect to it as well. But you know, again, some of the things, like, you probably, you know, you look at it, you kind of go, that shouldn't have gone through, that shouldn't have happened. So yeah, there's definitely that's definitely on our minds as well, Matt. Don't worry, you're not the only person. And you're right, it's not necessarily you're not complaining necessarily.
Right.
If these things are coming up and they affect your enjoyment of what you're buying, that's going to maybe affect your future purchases. So it's definitely something that has to be taken into consideration, not just by the fans, but also by Hasbro themselves and the brand team, definitely.
I don't think that that's a complainer thing. I think I've always felt that like the larger number of toys that I buy increases the chance I'm going to get something defective eventually. So yeah. I just kind of deal with that. But I think that you have to address the issue when it's something that just keeps on happening or it's very widespread.
Definitely. Yeah. Anyway, Peppermint Oil Capsule, thank you very much for the super chat. Games night later on Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse. Great fun. Sounds awesome. Go check out Sergeant Slaughterhouse, the YouTube channel, and definitely subscribe and go check out all their stuff. Thank you very much, Pep. I've shortened it to Pep, so I don't have to say the whole thing. I hope that's okay. Probably not. You're going to come back and say, do not call me that ever again, and it's fine. I won't. Anyway, yes, that's it for the news, Pat. We might as well, we should probably move on. We'll do shout outs next. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's what we do.
Did you think I was going to cut you off then by playing the video? Because I did last time, didn't I?
No, I wasn't.
Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner/developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
Absolutely. Right.
I knew you were going to cut me off there. I knew it.
I had to do it. It was perfect, wasn't it? That was absolutely perfect. I hope that was as good from my point of view as it was for everyone else's. But anyway, it's just hilarious. Shout outs then, buddy. Take us through your classic always happening shout out.
Yeah, my always happening shout out is to Philip, who did put up his video. A build of the Haunted Mansion. And I kind of enjoyed it. I like that version of the Haunted Mansion. He makes some good points as he was building it. So give that a watch if you haven't seen it. I would appreciate it.
I don't have that much knowledge about all that kind of stuff for the kind of Disney side of things. But I must admit, I really enjoyed watching him put that together, that little model kit. Very, very cool. And there he is. Hey, hey. Hey, hey, Phil. Shout out to you, my man. You only get a millisecond on screen, though. Sorry. That's all I can grant you. I just accidentally clicked off it. Thanks, Phil. How are you doing, buddy? Hope everything's good. And obviously, there's your shout out. That's all you're getting. Now move on. check out Articulated Points. Link in the description for their YouTube channel. And obviously, Pat is part of that. He's you know, yep. Equal parts Articulated Points.
Yes, we are one half. What?
What's up next, I was going to say, for Articulated Points?
Philip and I will have a discussion about that. February is always difficult. It's a
yes.
short month.
We've got to squeeze it's a monthly days, in ourselves yeah. as well, haven't we? We've got to do that soon. So we'll have to work out what the best one, the best topic to cover on that
okay.
one. I feel like we covered most of the topics, the hot takes this week anyway on a few minutes ago. Next up then, obviously, my fam in the UK and in the US, massive shout out. I know mom was watching. Love to all of the fam in the UK and of course the United States. And yeah, and Kate, of course, and Phoebe, who are in the vicinity. We haven't heard Phoebe today. Have you noticed? No barks today.
Yeah, there's still time.
There is still time. Also, shout out to Brian Sauer, who does our amazing graphiques. And again, thanks, Brian, for doing some last-minute stuff for me the other day. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you, my good man. And again, obviously the head of Codename Iowa, Assembly Required, all that good stuff. Check them out. And of course, this beauty, I'm really happy to say, is very close to funding. Now, we only launched last week, and it was pretty much at 70-something percent after a few days, which is incredible, by the way, considering this is the soft cover of the first volume they're doing for Total Action Force, The Battle Years. That's Paddy Lennon, Brian Hickey, and, of course, David McDonald, who's also in a part of that process as well. They are currently at, as we speak, $16,519 of a $19,990 goal, and 154 backers with 22 days to go. I'm going to go out and say, I think you'll be all right, lads. But obviously, get your pledges, link in the description for that Kickstarter campaign. And again, that is for the Total Action Force, The Battle Years, Volume 1 soft cover. If you missed out on it the first time, you can also get a Volume 2 in one of the pledge levels as well, which is definitely worth it. Both beautiful books in my vicinity right now as well, but they're awkwardly behind cables at the moment, so I won't reach and basically turn off our entire stream by accident. So yeah, get to pledging, guys, and let's get that one done. Matt has sent us another super chat. I'll be there. We'll get to that in a second, Matt. Thank you very much. I will get to it. Don't you worry. Big shout out to Word Burglar for his new video for MacGuffin Device. Obviously, directed by Jay Levancy, and of course features Beat Mason as well, who did the beat for that track in the video. Very cool, and obviously huge G.I. Joe vibes on this one, guys. This is a very G.I. Joe-esque track. So if you haven't heard it, go check out the link in the description and check out the video while you're at it as well. Awesome stuff. Word Burglar always comes hard with the videos. So check that out now, link in the description, and I'll kind of try to come up with some better terminology that doesn't sound as disgusting. Yes, so check it out. That's it. But before we go, Matt has given us another super chat. Thank you for such a great show, guys. No better way to celebrate my birthday a few days early than with this group. Thanks for answering my questions.
Happy advanced birthday.
Happy early birthday. That's awesome, man. And yeah, happy almost birthday, as people are saying. Everyone's saying happy birthday to you, so that's great. Thank you very much, dude. Thank you to everyone in the comments, everyone that has been, you know, throwing in questions and all that kind of stuff, and all the support from all of you guys. It is truly appreciated, from just listener to viewer to patron, whatever you are, whatever level you are. We appreciate all of the support. Pat, thanks for jumping on again for another cracking episode, mate.
Yeah, it's always fun to be on. Thanks again.
It was a good one today.
Yeah.
They're usually really crap, is what that sounds like when I say that at the end of these shows. No, it felt like a good one. I thought it was a good one today. And I kind of feel like that most times we do this. There aren't been many where I've gone, oh, that was rough. Like at the end, it's like, oh, what happened there, Pat? Where were you? No, that never happens, I will say. So, yeah, much appreciated, guys. Thanks for all of the support. You know what to do at the end of these episodes. After three, Pat, are you ready to be cut off at the last minute?
You're not going to cut me off. You'd have to cut everybody else off. It's not going to happen this time.
I know.
And I'm not going to steal your thunder and do it like I did last week.
I forgot about that. So after three, then. One, two, three.
Full four.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/thefullforce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/thefullforcepodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.